You know, we talk a lot about the afterlife on this program, and tonight a new twist to it. We're going to go down under. Barry Eaton joins us. Barry, I'll tell you about in just a moment as we talk about his work, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. I guess many of us have had someone dear to us, perhaps a friend, a family member, who has passed on. And we always think about, what is the afterlife? Does it exist? We're going to talk with Barry Eaton tonight. Well known in Australia as a radio and television personality, he discovered that the universe has a different plan for him. Now, while studying astrology, Barry was led to develop his own skills, psychic clairvoyant. He is an intuitive reader as well, and he's going to talk about his story, his life. And by the way, he hosts an internet radio program that you can listen to called RadioOutThere.com. Barry, welcome to the program. How are you?
George, look, I'm wonderful, and it's great to be on Coast to Coast.
How are things down under?
Well, it's midwinter here where I am, George, and the temperature today is probably about 72, 74 degrees. The sun is shining, the sky is clear. As I said to your producer, Tom, look, this is winter.
I love it. So the folks in Australia, what do they think of Americans, Barry?
Yeah, Tom asked me that as well. Very interesting. I mean, yeah, we love Americans. What's not to love about Americans?
That's true. We're good people.
Look, I think we're very close, very similar kind of people. We've got similar attitudes to life. We've been involved, our two countries, many, many years. We're allies. And I know that we have a lot of Americans come and visit here, and a lot of us head over to the States as well. I mean, I just love Hawaii, I've got to tell you.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I love going there.
Yep, I built a studio there. I haven't used it yet, but very soon I'll be on the Big Island doing what I do.
Good for you.
Popping around. Tell me a little bit more about yourself, Barry, before we get into your work afterlife here.
Well, look, like yourself, George, I've been in the media, radio and television for many years. I started off thinking I was going to become Hollywood's great star, studied acting, and then suddenly realized that it was probably much easier if I wanted to make a living to actually work in radio and television. So I got an opportunity and to work in radio and TV and never look back. So I do a little bit of acting, but for many, many years I was a radio and TV presenter, as you said, doing news and sports anchoring. I've hosted radio programs, talkback shows, interviews, you name it. And these days I do an internet radio program based around spiritual or metaphysical or mind, body, spirit, whatever label you want to give it. But I've spent many, many years in communications. And then when I suddenly realized that I'd gone about as far as I really wanted to go in the media, another opportunity arose, which I took with both hands.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Now, the unusual side of your life, the paranormal side, tell me about that and how did that develop? And then, of course, you did have a tragedy in your life. If you want to talk about that, that's up to you.
Yeah, sure. Well, as I said, you reach a certain stage where, and you've probably been through this, and a lot of people in the media have, you reach a stage where you think, well, what's next? Yep, I can keep on doing what I'm doing now, but really I would like something else. So then a little catalyst in my life called divorce happened. And this made me take an even bigger step, and I studied astrology. I was doing a talkback radio show at the time, and the guy who was going to be my teacher was a guest on the program. So I said to him one day, I'm going to do your astrology course next year. And he said, what? What makes you think that? I said, I don't know. That came to me just out of the blue. So I did. I studied astrology and got my professional qualifications, and that served as a platform. And after that, I started to just do some psychic and clairvoyant readings. That side of it opened up. I was still working as a news anchor all this time, by the way, and running a PR company at the same time. So I was pretty busy. But the further I got into the whole area of working in spiritual areas, in metaphysical areas, the more I thought, yeah, this is where I want to really head in the next part of my life. And things just gradually opened up from there. So then in the early 90s, I met this wonderful lady whose name's Judy. And I'd been doing a little bit of automatic writing before that, George.
Oh, were you? Okay.
And I was told that there was going to be somebody very special coming into my life later in that year. This was in 1993 in March. I discovered the notes the other day, funnily enough. And I was told that this lady would be coming into my life and would be very meaningful. And I was also told, I was very surprised to read this in the notes I just discovered 2 days ago, that you will eventually be writing a series of books, all with the same theme. Now, I'd forgotten all about that. But anyway, that's another topic. But when I met Judy, it was one of those things where the star-crossed lovers, you know, eyes across a crowded room. That sort of thing.
Love at first sight.
Yeah, she told me later on, she looked at me at this dinner we were at one night and said, all of a sudden she realized she was going to spend the rest of her life with this man. Unfortunately, she was proven tragically right because we were together for only 4 years before she developed a very, very serious heart-lung condition.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and after 4 years, we spent most of those 4 years together, which was wonderful. I guess we spent as much time together in those 4 years as most people would in 10 years of a normal relationship. So we got very, very close. And we both realized that there was a huge spiritual contract between the two of us. And we'd had lives before. We both knew that. We actually went to an Indian astrologer one day who came to Australia and was adept in reading the Akashic Records. And he put everything into context for us and told us exactly what we'd already known deep down. So when Judy became very, very ill and tragically was told she only had 3 months to live, it was, as you can imagine, shattering, absolutely shattering. In fact, she only lived for 2 months. So it was like a death sentence passed on her because she basically gave away all hope of living after that
It must have been just
medical sentence.
Just horrible for both of you.
Yeah, it was. And as you can imagine, I was absolutely shattered by all of this. Now, Judy and I had been working together. I was doing some various psychic events and whatever, and she would come along and work with me, organizing people to come and see me and whatever. And after she passed over, I had this empty hole in my life, and I just knew I had to contact her. We'd already started a little radio program from home. It was working on mainstream radio in Sydney, Australia, and we'd started it after we got in contact with her father, funnily enough. Her father was an ex-bookmaker, and he this is where the name Celestial Power came in. It was the first radio program that we did, and we'd contacted her father, Bill, in the afterlife. And he sent messages through, and we actually did this on a kind of Ouija board, which these days I would shudder to even think about using, let alone recommend.
That's what I tell people. Stay away from those.
Oh, they are. They're very, very dangerous. But in this instance, I don't know, maybe I was led there. I don't know, George. But we were given, because he was a former bookmaker, he gave us, and she said to him, Judy said to him, all right, how do we know it's you? You were a great man with the horses. Give us a tip. So he said, all right, race number 5 in Brisbane this Saturday in horse number 15 or whatever it was. So we looked at the horse, and it was called Celestial Power. And, of course, it romped in at about 15 to 1. So
my God.
We figured that...
did you bet him? Genuine. Did you put a little bet? Did you put a little bet on him?
Yes. We had a very nice dinner out.
I guess you had to. Yeah, you had to.
But after that, we couldn't get another tip from him, so we figured the Celestial Racing Authorities had really put the clamp on him. But we'd already started this radio program when, tragically, Judy was struck down with this dreadful condition and passed after just a couple of months.
There was nothing, though, that mainstream medicine, Barry, could do for her?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because she was put into one of Australia's best-known heart hospitals, and The doctor, the panel of doctors there, just came around and told her that she would need a complete heart-lung transplant.
Oh, my gosh.
And they didn't think her physical condition warranted their time and expertise in doing it. In other words, you know, they just washed their hands of her.
Yeah. Drove you nuts.
We were both absolutely shattered. But it was her time. That's the best way I can put it, George. It was her time. And this is what we all have. My mother used to say we all arrive on this planet with a number on our back. Funny way of saying it. But
no, that's true.
I've since found that that is true.
We all hope we have a high number, but you never know.
Well, I also think quality's got something to do with it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But after 3 months, Ruth Wilson, who was a medium who'd come onto the program with me and had only met Judy just a week or two before she passed over, knew absolutely nothing about her whatsoever, contacted me and said, would you like to speak to Judy? She actually gave me a wonderful passage that I was able to read in the church for her oratory. So, and Ruth was there, lovely, lovely lady. Anyway, she said, Judy would like to contact you. Are you happy for that? And I said, well, yeah, of course I am. And this was in late November. Judy had passed over in August of 97. So I went to Ruth's place. She said, come along at, I thought she said 10:30. So I arrived at 10:30 and she's standing at the door, tapping her foot, you know, impatiently, saying, where are you? What have you been doing? I said, well, 10:30. She said, no, 10 o'clock. She said, look, I've got Judy inside and she's got all these people there and they're really impatient. I said, what do you mean all these people? Do you think I was going to have an audience or something? So I sort of tentatively peered around the corner of the front door and sort of waiting to see a room full of people sitting in rows of chairs wanting to listen in on our personal conversation. I could not see a soul.
No.
But, of course, the room was absolutely packed with souls. There were souls of my family, Judy's family, all sorts of people there.
How did you know that, Barry? Or how did you feel that?
Because Ruth told me. She was the medium. And she gave me names. She had no idea of any of these names. She was a wonderful medium. And she gave me the names. She told me about my parents, and she told me all sorts of people that were there. And there's no way that she could have known about this, because I only knew her professionally in a very peripheral sort of a way. So I knew that this was Judy's sort of cheeky little way of letting me know, because the previous Christmas, she had had a house full of people. It was almost as if she knew that was going to be her last Christmas on Earth. And she had a house full of people at Christmas. And I was pretty grumpy about that. I like to sit down for my Christmas dinner. So what happens? I was standing at a kitchen bench trying to eat and juggle my Christmas dinner, and I got very grumpy about that. So this was her cheeky way of saying, all right, you want to sit down, you want to have a family gathering, here you are. You don't even have to put dinner and wine on for
them. Right.
So in that particular occasion, Ruth then told me, after Judy and I had exchanged all sorts of wonderful information and whatever, Ruth told me that the universe, spirits, the guides, whoever, had given us permission to stay in contact. And I said, well, that's very interesting. And I do a lot of psychic work, and I've fiddled a little tiny, tiny, tiny bit with medium work. But they said, don't worry, we will help you. And that's exactly what happened. They started to help me. I was given this little tiny bell, and whenever I wanted to contact Judy, I just rang this little tiny bell, and Judy would be there. And I learned how to open my mind and open my heart and receive her messages. And that's how it all started, George.
That is a dramatic, dramatic story. And what a life you've had, Barry.
Well, I guess, I look back and I say, yes, it's been a fantastic life. It still is a fantastic life. Lots of different things. But I do believe that all the communication skills that I've built up over the years as a radio and TV anchor and communicator, I also lectured in journalism for quite a few years and did many, many different things. I believe strongly that all of these communication skills were part of a training program so that I could get to be where I am now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, lessons learned, and they just seem to guide us in a certain direction. So when you started seriously getting involved in the paranormal, in the afterlife, what did you begin to start concluding about it? What do you think it is?
Yeah, that's a pretty strong question, isn't it? Well, I'd always known ever since I was a young lad that reincarnation is just a fact of life. I knew I'd been here before. I didn't know how, when, where, or why, but I'd always been fascinated with things like reincarnation and time travel and all of those universal mysteries, always. So I guess the thing that I've discovered or needed to discover was there's a lot more than just the outer image that we look at. I mean, you've been on radio, on TV, you've worked in the media as many years as I have probably, and you know that it's all out there in front of you. You don't have to go inside to really be a successful person in radio, TV, entertainment, whatever. So what I had to learn was to be able to go the other direction, to be able to go in instead of just pushing everything out there and saying, here I am up on the stage, look at me, look at me. No, I had to learn how to examine myself and discover why I'm here in this particular lifetime. And it's not necessarily just to have my face on TV or my voice on radio. It's a lot more than that. But that was just a pretty long training period, but it was still a training period.
Were you ever scared of the afterlife?
No.
Never?
No.
A lot of people are.
Which is interesting because that's one of the reasons I believe, a very major reason why I've written this book and I have a follow-up book in the wings at the moment, because the majority of people are absolutely terrified of death, which is a very sad thing to say. And in my studies and my research and my writings, this is what I have found, that there is nothing to be afraid of because life continues. This is just one of many. And basically, we are a spiritual energy inhabiting a human body so that we can have a human experience.
There's no doubt about that. And all of us, we're all involved in the same thing. We're all going to end up in the same place, aren't we?
Well, we all came from that place to start off with.
And back we go.
Yeah.
You have a spirit guide.
Everybody's got a spirit guide.
How'd you get to know yours? I don't know much.
Dutch, oh, look, it's fun when you meet them, and you can. You just meditate, and you can go into. There are many different ways. It's like saying somebody says to you, how do I get to be a journalist or a newsreader or whatever? There are so many different ways that you have to find your own.
Do you go to them, or do they come to you?
No, they're always there. They're around you. They've been with you from the moment you're born, and they surround you. And some people, you know, quite often we've got more than one.
Do we call them guardian angels, Barry?
Yeah, guardian angels. We have guardian angels. Everybody does. And this is the wonderful thing about it. They are there. They are whispering in our ear at various times. They're supporting us in our dream state. They're doing all sorts of things to help us. Because we're not absolutely abandoned down here on Earth. We are given some support. We've got the team behind us there. But quite often, mostly, we just ignore them. We try to do our own thing. But if you want to meet your spirit guide, meditation is the great place to start. It is with any kind of development work. Meditation is the key. You've got to quieten that mind down because the monkey mind, as it's often known, just chatters away. And until you can slow it right down, you'll never stop it. Even when you're asleep, it won't stop. But once you quieten it down so you can hear the spaces in between the words, that is when the messages, that is when the communications can happen. And your guides are there, just waiting. I met mine, funnily enough, my first guide, from a spirit drawing that was done for me, or an artist drawing, when I was at a Mind-Body-Spirit festival. And it was given to me, a wonder. And I just knew that this was right, because it was an Egyptian priest-looking figure. And I've always had an absolute fascination with ancient Egypt.
Hold on, Barry. I want to talk more with you about that. We're going to take this break. We're going to come right back and talk more about these spirit guides on Coast to Coast AM. Well, does it get any better than old Blue Eyes? Barry Eaton, our special guest, we're talking about his work, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. I should get the Guyam folks to spring to fly him up to Colorado. Maybe we could do a Beyond Belief television show. You can look at that show, by the way, 10 days free. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com, click hosts, and then click the TV button there and take advantage of it. Our guest this Friday on Beyond Belief is Dr. Louis Turi with his predictions. I'm going to be back in a moment. More with Barry Eaton, The Afterlife. And welcome back. Barry Eaton with us, of course. Barry, let's get back into this seeking out your spirit guide through meditation. What's the best technique? And then how do you know you've communicated with the guide?
Good question, George. As in a lot of areas of spiritual development, there's a great element of trust. Without being naive, we have to learn how to trust. But there are many different, I don't know about it in the States, but over here we have places like spiritualist churches and various groups. I ran a group for 10 years helping people to open up their spirituality, open up their intuition, connect with guides, things like that. There are people around that can help you do this. But to do it on your own, it's meditation, it's getting in there, and it's not just sort of sitting down for half an hour and saying, oh, well, I didn't contact my guide, that's it, that was a failure, forget that, what'll I do now? It's a matter of really opening not only your mind but also your heart and knowing that the information that comes will always be for your highest good. That is the most important thing. A guide will never tell you to do anything stupid or dangerous or put yourself into any kind of situation that's going to harm you or anybody else. So when you're first meeting a guide, to know that the information that's coming to you, and it will come through thought, just as any communication with the other side will. You don't expect to hear a celestial loudspeaker come booming out in the living room. It's all done through the power of thought. And once we start getting in touch and trusting and knowing, and it may take quite a few attempts to do this, but they are there and they do want to communicate. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And the other way is to, before you go to sleep at night, ask for some help in this area. Just that, you know, that lovely little bit just before you heading off into dreamland and you're starting to drift and you're starting to feel really lovely and dozy and comfortable, just put out that state of intention. The state of intention is extremely powerful. And just ask your guides to come through, perhaps in the night, to communicate with you. Now, when you start to develop, and we found this with so many people, guides will then start to come through, and you'll start finding yourself waking up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And for those people who sleep normally, you know, 8 hours, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when the energies are very quiet and they'll start to get information through. And when that happens, yes, get some information, but then you can ask your guides to please respect your need for sleep, that you've got to go to work, and they will. They'll understand that. But it's not just a one-off process that's going to take 5 minutes. They are there, but it's like anything good in life. We have to do a little bit of nurturing and be patient.
Let's talk a little bit about the work after life. Give us an overview, first of all, Barry, before we jump right into it, on what this is and what you are trying to accomplish.
As I said before, taking the fear out of the word death, because I don't believe we die, and most people who've got any kind of insight or experience with the afterlife know that we don't die, because there's this fear that all of a sudden the lights are going to be turned out, we're going to pitch black, it all disappears, it's all over, bang, good night, forget it. That just does not happen. Our bodies, our physical bodies, are powered. There is an energy source there. And that's our spiritual energy source that comes in from the world of spirit, the afterlife. You know, there are lots of different labels we can put on it, but it's there. So when that energy leaves the body, it's got to go somewhere, because energy can't be destroyed. That's a law of physics. It can be transmuted, but it can't be destroyed. And there were experiments many years ago where a body was actually weighed just immediately prior to death and then just after death, and there was a difference of something like an ounce in the body weight. So the energy did have a weight. So the whole area of life after death, or the afterlife, is a world of spirit. It's essentially another dimension. We hear about near-death
experiences. And it was always there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always there. Yeah. But we have to come from somewhere. And it is another dimension of reality. When here we are on the Earth, a third dimensional reality. The afterlife moves off into higher dimensions. Essentially, it vibrates a lot faster than we do here on Earth. And from my understanding, it surrounds us. It's not sort of up there, you go up there, up those steps, up to heaven, or you go down those steps, down there, over to hell. No, forget all of that. The afterlife is a huge, vast, interdimensional system where there are many, many different levels, many different planes. I can go into that in detail for you. But just a quick analogy here, George, with the energy system. The way I've described it in my book, Afterlife, is it's like being an actor where your agent gets you a contract, and it's either in a film or a stage play or whatever. So your agent, in this instance, the people in spirit, organize this role for you. So you go in there and you get your lines, you get everything, and you learn, you rehearse, you go through, and that's like you're growing up, your education in real life. Then you go on stage, you make the film, whatever, and then at the end of it, you take the wardrobe off, you take the makeup off, and then you go home and wait for another role. And that's essentially what we do in life. We are assigned a role. We agree to a role. We sign a contract on the other side that we are going to go there, and you're going to be George Noory, I'm going to be Barry Eaton in this lifetime, and this is part of the contract. And there are certain areas within that contract that we agree to. And once we come into the body, then that expands, and we have our life. At the end of the life, bang, off goes the garment, which is the body, and then the essential energy goes back to where it was, to rest, ready for the next role. So that's the best analogy that I can come up with that people can probably relate to.
You know, and I look at it, Barry, too, as scientists talk about multiverses, other dimensions. I just had a couple guests on a few weeks ago talking about more than the nine dimensions, that they think they're considerably more. I think it's entirely possible that this death is merely a part of all of that. Always was, as you said, and always will be.
Look, I totally agree that it's another dimension. How many dimensions there are? Well, who knows?
Who knows?
Scientist says nine dimensions. You know, there might be thousands of them, you know, countless dimensions. But I know with the afterlife, it's been described to me, which I wrote in my book, Afterlife, the vastness of the spirit world. I wrote a whole chapter on that one. And it's like being here on Earth. We look at Earth and we don't say, yes, it's all exactly the same. Of course not. We talked before about, you know, the United States. You're there. I'm here in Australia. There are many different countries. We all have our different lifestyles. We have our different look. We have our different customs, our different habits. And this is very much reflected from life in the world of spirit. There's a saying, as above, so below, which I've explored countless times in my book, because that's basically, I mean, we bring all this energy, we bring all this subconscious knowledge with us onto Earth. So we are going to create from our subconscious memory the kind of conditions that we had in the world of spirit. And that is living in different countries, living in different circumstances, different socioeconomic societies. It's all different. Now, when we go back over to the other side, we don't all just get lumped in one great big compound somewhere. We go back to an area that we have come from. And the way that we go back is according to the development of our soul. That's basically why we're here, to have many, many different life experiences so our soul can benefit from these experiences. And once we've had every experience there is, basically, then we don't have to come back here anymore.
That's dramatic, and we don't. And the question is, do we want to? Do you find that the spirit world wants to come back, wants to reincarnate?
With the spirit world and the individual, every story is unique. Every story that I've examined, including my own, because in my book I was able to go back through regression to the death in my previous life and explore my own interlife journey, which was quite fascinating. But from what I've been told from talking with people on the other side and other research, every experience is unique. It's like you and I getting on a group tour and going somewhere with 100 other people. Everybody might be heading in the same direction, on the same plane, heading over to Europe or whatever, but everybody is going to have their own unique experience. They're going to come back with their own memories and their own photographs and everything about that. And this is exactly what happens in the afterlife. We all experience it differently, but we all go back essentially to a similar place. And according to the development of our soul, that is where we end up, and until we don't need to come back any longer. Now, with needing to reincarnate and wanting to reincarnate, that can quite often be two different things. I know there are some spirits who are desperate to get back here because they miss all the good things of life, you know, the physical aspects, the material aspects, the enjoyment, the food, the drink, the wine, the sex, all of that stuff, and they miss that.
I'd rather sit in a cloud and play with a harp.
George, sorry to disappoint you.
Yeah,
a lot of cloud sitting.
Exactly. It's a long story.
Let alone harps. I mean, you don't even have a bring your own harp situation over there. No, that is a really sort of fluffy bunny kind of image of the afterlife. And if people float around on clouds playing harps, then that's probably in some celestial pantomime or something.
I think I'd be bored after about 3 hours.
You reckon you'd last 3 hours?
But with reincarnation, some people believe, Barry, that you constantly reincarnate. I happen to think, and you do too, that you will reincarnate to a point of perfection, and then that's it. You're not coming back anymore. Do we have any ability to come back if we want to, or you're gone if you're perfect?
Look, I think once again, this is in the situation of being everybody's story being unique. That some people, yes, they want to come back. They're desperate to come back. They've left loved ones behind, and they feel this need to come back. But you're not going to be allowed to just suddenly say to the powers that be in the afterlife, "Hey, listen, guys, I'm sorry. I'm a bit bored here. I want to go back." You've got to be ready for it. Your soul has to be ready for the next life, and there has to be the right kind of body for you to be born into, the right circumstances. Otherwise, it's a waste of a life. If you just come back again for the sake of coming back, that's not going to achieve anything. So, yes, you might desperately want to come back, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're just going to get the first available body, like a free seat on a plane. It has to be approved by the powers that be. As above, so below. There are just as many people over there helping us, organizing us, doing things, and in some instances telling us what to do as there are here on Earth.
Well, that's true, too. There's no doubt about that. Give us your opinion of what happens when the body dies, the spirit leaves.
Well, of course, there are so many different ways of the body dying. If it dies very peacefully, then the spirit can drift off very peacefully. I always remember as a young lad, my grandfather was lying dying in bed, and he was there for a couple of days. And I went to see him because I really loved my grandfather. I was very close to him. And he was drifting very slowly. But in the last hours of his life, he had all his family from the spirit world come to visit him, and he was talking to them. Now, this is quite a common occurrence. And they were coming, and he was with them. They were waiting for him. And then when he eventually died, he just drifted off and went with them. But, of course, somebody else may die in an accident. Somebody like myself in my last life died very tragically in a war. And there are many, many ways that we can die. So it can be a sudden death. It can be a gradual death. It can be a long, lingering death for some people with horrible diseases in hospital, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, there's the whole question of suicide as well. So it does raise, I guess, so many questions that can only be answered by the fact that everybody's journey is unique. But when the soul, which is surrounded by the spirit, the soul is the energy, the spirit is the vehicle, when that does depart from the body, we're all met. And that's the big thing about it, George, that nobody dies alone. We may read some tragic stories about somebody being discovered in their apartment or their house and they died months ago and how terrible it was they died alone. No, they didn't die alone. Somebody was there to meet them and greet them and look after them.
And they felt that presence?
Oh, yes. Yep. Everybody does. And I know in my previous life, as I said, I died in a World War One battlefield, and I was taken back, and I saw all this happen graphically. And here I am, I didn't know I was dead, and all of a sudden, in the midst of all this carnage, my grandmother appears beside me. And I'm like, what on earth? What are you doing here? What, little old lady, what are you doing in a battlefield? This is not a place for a granny. And then suddenly, after she just smiled at me and finally got the message through, and I remembered that she had died before the war even started, and I realized, of course, that then I too must be dead. And then she looked at me and smiled and then took my hand and led me off and helped me cross over into the afterlife. And this is what happens. People are met, they cross over. Of course, most people like to be around for their funeral. So that's another little instance that we can talk about there.
Well, let me ask
Nobody
you,
likes to miss out on their own funeral.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to find out who's going to come along, don't you?
I mean, are they walking amongst the crowd?
Yep. Very definitely.
Huh.
I know that my friend Ruth Wilson, the medium I told you about before, when Judy passed over, I was given the dreadful task of doing the oratory because none of her family could face up to it. We'd only been together 4 years, and not only did I lose my soulmate, but I had to do the oratory as well.
Geez.
And Ruth told me afterwards she saw Judy walk up the aisle and hold my arm while I was giving the oratory.
Did you feel that presence?
Now, the interesting thing is that I was absolutely, well, there's lots of words I can use here, but I was scared. Standing up there in front of all these people, most of them I didn't know, and standing up in a Catholic church, and I'm not even Catholic, and all this sort of stuff. But all of a sudden, I felt this surge of strength at the time, and I was able to get through it. Now, I was so emotional, I didn't feel consciously Judy's presence. But afterwards, when Ruth told me about it, I realized just what that strength was. And it was the thing that got me through that day.
She propped you up, didn't she?
She did. She came up there and held my arm like a partner would, but linked her arm through mine and gave me the energy and the support and the love that I needed to be able to get through that awful, awful experience.
A little bit later on when we take phone calls with Barry Eaton, of course, share your stories about the afterlife, about what you went through personally, perhaps somebody passed in your family, or questions, of course. It's something, Barry, that I think so many people are just scared of. I really do. People are scared of death. And I want to talk with you about that when we come back. And, of course, the book is called Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. Barry, of course, lives down under, down in Australia. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back and talk more with him about soul families, soul mates.